All right, if you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy and chapter number 4. I know we just came out of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now listen, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 was full of prophecy that we see being fulfilled today. And I want to share with you some prophecies, some prophetic events that are unfolding that are found in chapter number 4. There's a lot of people who are very interested in Bible prophecy. Those who know the Lord ought to be very interested. Amen. The reason for this is it often deals with our future. And I don't know of anyone who truthfully don't want to know as much as they could about what the future entails. Amen. And I think that we can see in our day and time some things that ought to give us, instead of fear, it ought to give us hope that we're right there close to the Lord coming back again. I know that there are also a lot of people who scoff at the mention of Bible prophecy. They scoff because they don't want any Bible prophecy to be true. But it's all true. Because they don't want to change the way that they're living. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4, before we get to our text here, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So we know that there are scoffers that are out there. Many people, including some of the scoffers, will come here teaching and preaching on Bible prophecy. The scoffers may come for the wrong reason, but praise the Lord, when they do come, they'll get the truth. And God's Holy Spirit can, and does sometimes, convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment, even if they come for the wrong reason. Now, if I advertise on a particular date that I would be exposing who the Antichrist is, boy, we could fill this place up. Only thing is, I would be a false prophet. Okay? Because I can't expose who the Antichrist is. No doubt people would come from near and far to hear that sermon. But that ain't going to happen because the Antichrist won't be revealed until we're out of here. We can have inklings that we think, well, it could be so-and-so, or it could be this one over here, or that one over there. Bottom line is, we don't know. We don't know. Any speculation on my part would just be speculation. Any speculation on your part is just speculation. Men have been speculating for years about who the Antichrist is. I can't tell you how many I've heard in my lifetime reference who they thought the Antichrist was, and most of those people are dead and gone. They just are. However, if I were to take a sermon preach against sin, I believe I'd lose my crowd. You know, invite them for prophecy and you preach against sin, they don't want to hear that. And we're going to see why. You know, you lose a crowd about as fast as you gain a crowd, and some would probably just get up and walk out in the middle of the sermon. I have people do that even today. You know, people don't. Sometimes I think it's because maybe I go a little bit long, and they can't handle it just so much. But some of it, I don't think they like what they hear. But tonight I'm going to be speaking on some prophetic events I'm going to be speaking on events that were to come to pass after they were written about. That's what prophetic events are. Events that were written by both Old Testament and New Testament writers of Scripture, that were to come to pass later, sometime at a later date. The prophecy that we see unfolding here before our very eyes is not something that's going to draw large crowds, but if we take it to heart, it will draw us closer to our Savior, which I hope you want to be close to Him. And I would rather draw you closer to the Savior than to draw crowds. All right? So let's read the text. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and the verse number 1. Paul tells young Timothy here, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, talking about those who are alive, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. See the prophecy there? It's some future date, a future time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now we see first of all here, Paul starts with a charge really that is to every preacher. I can tell you whenever I was ordained into the ministry back in 1985, I was given this charge to preach the word. Paul wrote this epistle or letter to the young preacher Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Understand that the Apostle Paul was writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just a letter. It's more than just an epistle. He was writing the truth of God. It means that God used the Apostle Paul to communicate His truth to Timothy and to us by the pen of Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy about what kind of preacher he should be and why he should be that kind of preacher. And in reality, it is a charge to every preacher in this age that we live in. We still live in the age that Paul lived in. Okay? We live in the church age, is what we refer to it as. We live toward the end, the latter days, the end times. Now, Paul told Timothy, first of all, to preach the word. Now, a preacher is to preach or proclaim the word of God. We know that's what Paul and the other epistles did. Amen. We read about that in the book of Acts and also in the epistles. Acts 17, verse 2, talks about the way Paul's manner was. And it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." That was his manner. He would go into a town, and he'd first of all go to the synagogue in that town, and he would preach Jesus Christ. And those that of the Jews that would listen and understand the gospel, they would get saved, and he would form a church. If sometimes he'd get kicked out of the synagogue, he preached to the Gentiles too. And whoever would get saved, he'd form a church. He'd form a church, and he'd try to get a church grounded. And listen, that's what every faithful preacher since that time has strived to do. Now, understand that there are many so-called preachers who spend most of their time giving illustrations. Illustrations are good, but they are only to be the helper to the sermon, not the meat of the sermon. I have seen, I cannot sit up under, but I have seen some sermons that didn't have any Bible to them whatsoever. They were nothing but illustration. Now, a sermon is supposed to proclaim the Word of God. That's what preaching is. It's proclaiming the Word of God. Many preachers are great storytellers. I'm not really one of those. Stories can be good, but they are to be a helper to the sermon. They're not to be the meat of the sermon. I mean, Jesus told stories. He's told parables to illustrate. And I'll tell stories to illustrate. A lot of times you'll find that most of my illustrations, I use the Bible to illustrate the sermons, because Bible illustrations are the best. They're the best. Now, it's the Word of God that will do the work of God in the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, "Well, the Word of God is quick," means it's alive and powerful, "and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God can do. The Word of God is much better than my human reasoning and anything that I might tell you. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. Paul told Timothy, second of all, to be instant. Instant. Instant means to stand upon. That is, to be present. Instant means a pressing, having an urgency, having an earnestness about what you're doing. To be instant, one must be ready. One must be ready. Ready by being in the Word continually. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Do you know why you believe what you believe? Can you show somebody why you believe what you believe? You ought to be able to do that from Scripture, especially a man of God. So, we're ready by being in the Word continually, ready to preach and teach the Word anytime and all the time. That's being instant. Ready whether it's in season. He talks about in season or out of season. Now, in season means well-timed, opportune, convenient. Sometimes there are those times. Normally they're when you're preaching at a preacher's fellowship as a preacher. You know, those are the opportune times. You don't get much negativity there. You know? You've got a lot of amen in, a lot of agreement with the Word of God. Out of season, inopportune, or inconvenient. Whether the listeners are receptive or not receptive, you know, is what it's talking about here. Whether it's a convenient or inconvenient time. Paul told Timothy to reprove also. Reprove. Reprove means to refute or to disprove, to prove to be wrong, to admonish, to charge with a fault to the face, to convince a fault of a fault, or to make manifest that fault. Now understand that no one likes being condemned for his or her actions or beliefs. They just don't. But if a preacher will not reprove, he is like the parent who will only feed his children junk food. Yeah. Oh, they may like it, but it's not good for them. Yeah. It'll only bring them to ruin physically. And sadly, many preachers in our day are doing that very thing, giving people what they want rather than what they need. Paul told Timothy to not only reprove, but rebuke. The word rebuke means to censure or admonish. As to reprove and reprimand severely. Find fault with, to censure, to condemn, as opposed to like condemn an action or condemn words that are being spoken. Now, so that sounds very close to reprove. It is. Reprove and rebuke are very much alike, as they both have someone in authority telling you to stop doing wrong or to stop believing wrong. But rebuke is a little bit stronger than reprove. A lot of times we'll start out with a little bit, and then someone comes and they're adamant against what the Word of God says. That calls for a little bit stronger reproof. That's what it does. It calls for a rebuke. Now, a preacher starts off reproving, and then when that doesn't work, he has to rebuke. Notice the preacher is giving twice as much negative as positive here. Okay? A lot of what I have to deal with, I have to bring negatively. People don't like negative preaching. Listen, much of the time, the truth is going to hurt. It's just going to. Because we're still sinful creatures. We're not arrived yet, none of us, including this preacher. When I go to a preacher's fellowship and they start getting on my toes, I don't like it either, but I got to listen to it, and I got to obey the Word of God. The truth will hurt, but listen, it's also helpful. The reason for the rebuke is to make one sound in the faith. Paul told Titus in Titus 1, verse 13, he said, "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." He was told to rebuke sharply, so that the people would be sound in their faith. Negative preaching leads to positive living. Preaching against sin leads to clean lives when it's obeyed. Negative preaching, and that's condemning sin. You know, anytime a preacher condemns sin, you say, oh, that preacher's just being negative about that. Well, it leads to positive living if they obey. It changes lives. Positive preaching leads to negative living, on the other hand. Positive preaching. Think of seldom condemning sin, always exhorting without rebuking or reproving. That leads to negative living. That leads to sinful, unchanged lives. Sin's still there, and it's not dealt with. Paul told Timothy also to exhort. Exhort means to call near, to invite, to advise or encourage, to urge a person to praiseworthy conduct. I love exhorting from God's Word. It's part of it. But reprove and rebuke are also part of it. Okay? It's not good. It's not something we look forward to on the front end. It's not when we are the ones giving it. It's not something we look forward to on the receiving end, is it? We don't. And we'd much rather be exhorted than reproved or rebuked. But it's all needed. Preacher needs to urge people to live right, to talk right, to dress right, to give right, to be right, to do right. Amen. Paul told Timothy to do these things, all of these things, with all long suffering there in verse 2. With all long suffering. And this means the preacher will have to suffer long. Just like parents do with their children. Bringing up your children. They didn't always get it the first time, did they? Continually be on the case? Huh? You ever had to continually be on your child's case? We brought up a son and a daughter. We had a little bit of both there. And we had to suffer long as parents. Now, the preacher's reproving, rebuking, and exhorting is to be done also with long suffering. 2 Timothy 2:24. Paul told Timothy, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. He's to be patient. Okay? That's long suffering. 2 Timothy 3:10. We saw where Paul told Timothy, he said, you know, you've seen my example. And part of his example was he had the example of being long-suffering there in 2 Timothy 3:10. With all long-suffering and doctrine. Boy, folks are getting away from doctrine. Sound doctrine. Some churches boast about they're not a doctrinal church. You're a doctrinal church. Just bad doctrine. Every church is a doctrinal church. You teach by what you don't teach. You do. All reproving, rebuking, and exhorting is to be done with doctrine. And God gave us His Word for doctrine. I mean, how can you not be a doctrinal church and be a biblical church? This is full of doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. So we see a charge to every preacher. Now, we're going to spend most of the time in verse number 3 and 4 here. We see how end time people will be. And here is the prophecy that we see unfolding right before our very eyes. We're living in the midst of it. Paul warns Timothy here that a time would come when people living in the end times would not be able to endure sound doctrine. It's happening now. Paul had previously warned Timothy in his first letter to him about some of the characteristics of people living in the latter times and what it would be like. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Just hold your place there and then flip back to 1 Timothy 4. Look at verses 1 through 3. And Paul says here, Now, the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Or, and that word expressly means distinctly. There's no fuzziness to this. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Even in this second letter, we saw when we were in chapter 3 that Paul had warned about what the character of people would be in the last days, and because of that, how people would be, you know, the characteristics that they would have in their life. And he called those days perilous times in verse number 1 of chapter 3. In the last days, perilous times shall come. A lot of people are talking about how they are in fear in the days that we live in right now because of what's going on in our nation and in the world in general. And there are a lot of people that are fearful. If you don't believe it, get on social media. You'll find them there. They're fearful. But we're not to be fearful as God's people. Paul warned him what the character of people would be like in the last days, and because of how people would be, he told what kind of days they were going to be. He called them perilous. Listen to me. We're there. We're there. Verses 1 through 6. I'm not going to go back and re-preach that, but we just recently dealt with it. But here we see in verse 3 of our text here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. 1 Peter 4:16 says, Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm seeing a lot of folks who call themselves men of God, a lot of preachers, who are moving away from sound doctrine. Sound doctrine has to be endured. He said, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What does that word endure mean? It means to hold oneself up against. It means to put up with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine sometimes hurts as it comes to you. Yeah? Sound doctrine is what we need, though. And we must endure it, because if we listen to it and say, no, I don't want any part of that, and we go on down the road, what are we doing? We're part of that number there. They will not endure sound doctrine. Endure means to bear without opposition or sinking under the pressure. It means to undergo or to sustain or to continue in. I'm not talking about all doctrine. I'm talking about sound doctrine. I'm talking about biblically based. You can turn, give you a chapter and verse. This is what the Bible says. We're talking about that kind of doctrine. Because there's a lot of doctrine out there that needs to be turned from. Amen? It just needs to be. Now, sometimes it's painful to be under sound doctrine. It hurts our pride. We all like to think we're better than we really are. Preachers included. We're all just sinners saved by grace. We're all in need of a continual move forward. Even the Apostle Paul admitted in Philippians chapter number 3, that he hadn't arrived yet. He hadn't arrived. He was still pressing toward the mark. Doctrine that goes against the flesh must be endured. Whether it be the doctrine of sin, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Yep. when we preach against sin and we tell folks they need to get saved, we do so because of sound doctrine. That's what the Word of God teaches. Then, the doctrine of judgment for sin. When we tell folks, listen, you need to get right with God, or you're gonna be in a world of hurts. The person that's lost, hell. It's late, a fire. You know? And there a lot of times we're given the doctrine of hell, and people don't want to hear that anymore. You know, that's kind of old fashioned, isn't it? I mean, they preached that a long time ago. Nobody believes in hell anymore. Still in the book. Still in the book. We're living in a time that folks can't and don't endure sound doctrine. They're like, well, I ain't listening to that. I'm out of here. And they do. They're gone. Sometimes you'll see some come in for a little while and boom, they're back out the door and they're gone. And a lot of times it's because they can't handle sound doctrine. Now, what is sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is teaching that stands the test of the whole Word of God. Stands the test of the whole Word of God. Now, we know that cults teach false doctrine that's based on proof texts that are nothing more than Scripture taken out of context. That's what it is. That ain't sound doctrine. You can take the Bible and prove just about anything if you pull Scripture out of context. I can prove to you now you need to go out and commit suicide. And we turn over there and read where Jesus went out and hanged himself, and I can turn over to another passage of Scripture and go and do thou likewise. But that don't make it sound doctrine. You know? It's wrong. Modern day, and here's a word, I made it up, okay? Churchianity. Modern day churchianity says, we don't care about doctrine. Just make us feel good about ourselves. And so they go to a church that feeds their emotions. Feeds the emotions. Many reject the preaching of sound doctrine. Jesus was rejected because he preached the truth. He preached sound doctrine. In John 8:45, he said, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Many in the Galatian church did not want the truth from the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Galatians were following error. They were the Judaizers that were trying to get them to add the law to the grace of Jesus Christ as being required for salvation. No. Paul said no. And he's telling them the truth. But some of them were getting upset at it. And he says in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? No. Recently, I've had to tell some folks the truth. You know, some folks that I had used to think that they had moved beyond the not sound doctrine, the unsound doctrine that they've received somewhere else before they came our way. Shared the Word of God with them and was assured that they understood and they finally got it. Well, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And want to make me out to be a bad guy because I said, you know, look, I'm just giving you the truth of the Word of God. Yeah? People who are saved are eternally secure. We believe in eternal security. You know why we believe in eternal security around here? Because of the Bible, the Word of God. Yeah? It's in the Word. Very, very well substantiated in the Word of God. And the people on the other side, they pull a little verse here and a little verse there out of context. Don't look at the context of what's going on around it. Don't look at the context of the book that is in. Don't look at the context of the whole Word of God. Don't look at context whatsoever. and take the many verses that speak of our eternal security, and they try to do away with eternal security by just a little bit over here that they pull out of context. Listen, many will follow their own lust and find someone that satisfies how their flesh wants to be and how they want to live and how they want to believe. They already got made up in their mind that, well, this is what I believe to be the truth. What's the Bible say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Too many don't want preaching that condemns their fleshly desires and their sin. Too many don't want preachers that preach sound doctrine. And too many can't and won't endure it or put up with it because they are driven by their flesh. Now, they will find and get the kind of teachers they want. Notice verse 4 again. It says, let's back up to verse 3 again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So let's take a look at this one step at a time here. They will heap to themselves teachers. So they'll find and get the kind of teachers they want. Okay? The idea is that they will go from teacher to teacher until their itching ears are tickled as they wish. And notice it says teachers, not preachers. Because there's no reproving, no rebuking, no exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. You can sense the dissatisfaction in their souls. They will have itching ears, wanting them tickled. Some want to be amused or entertained. Can I tell you, if you want to be entertained, you'll find a church that will give it to you. That's right. They'll entertain you. Some of them have you laughing because of comedy. They'll have somebody in there telling jokes. Some of them will move your spirit by the music that they have. Many modern churches are ready to oblige. They are seeker-oriented. They are based on entertaining instead of reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. Some want to be flattered. They want just tell me the good stuff. They want the Joel Osteen type of preaching is what they want. Some want to hear new things. They don't want to hear the old story. Well, you know what Paul had to say about that? He told the Philippians in Philippians 3:1, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. They needed the old story. They will be like the group of people in Athens that Paul encountered. Acts 17, verse 9, said, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Yeah. Temptations all the time out there to go with something that people are latching on to, and it'll fizzle down the road. Just stick with the book. We see a charge to every preacher. We see how end time people will be. And then in verse 4, we see where end time paths lead them and will be done. Okay? Their paths take them away from the truth. That's what it says. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There are so-called preachers who will give people what they want to hear, but the end of that path is error and not truth. The paths take them not only away from the truth, their paths take them to fables. If one wants the truth, listen, if you want the truth, God has men who speak it. Our verse this morning that we used, our text verse of Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah was preaching sound doctrine to them. They don't want to hear it. We want these other prophets over here to tell us what we want to hear. Fables. If you want a fable, God will give you over to those who speak it. Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, preachers that will tell folks what they want to hear are numerous. Every preacher preaches doctrine of some sort. But the question is this, do they preach sound doctrine or false doctrine? The world and much of modern day churchianity wants the light of truth put out and replaced by that which they want to hear. The time is coming when I believe many of those in churchianity are going to join side by side with the world. They are. In an effort to eliminate those who hold sound doctrine. Especially those who teach and preach that the sound doctrine. Now I think there's a little doubt that we are in the day and time that Paul saw coming. And it's increasingly getting more that way each and every passing day. Just since last Sunday, it's gotten more so that way. Where are your paths taking you? What's your attitude toward sound doctrine? Your attitude toward Bible teaching and preaching? Are you one that delights in and wants the old paths of the Word of God? Are you letting the Word of God effectually work in you like the Thessalonian Christians were doing? Because you receive it as it is. It's the Word of God. A lot of it has to do with our attitude toward the Word, like I said this morning. So, will you make a stand and remain on sound doctrine for your life? Or will you be as many who have turned from the truth unto fables? I trust that you'll stick with sound doctrine. Amen. Let's pray. Father,